Fanboy Smackdown, episode 32, for Friday, April 13th, 2007. Yeah, we're a day late, but we get posted on Friday the 13th. Fanboy Smackdown, dudes. Cowabunga is the turtle. Hey, this is Tony.
And this is Tony.
And this is episode 32 of the Fanboy Smackdown podcast.
Tres dos.
Yes, and later on, we're going to be talking about the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle movie, TMNT.
Which, what does that stand for?
Teenage Mutant
Ninja Turtles. I got to look at my notes. Oh, that's right. Okay.
I guess this is the fourth movie in the installment, the fourth installment of the series of films.
I suppose that would be correct.
Yeah.
I mean, but it depends on if you count, you know, half of the films that were made.
Yeah. Well, we'll get into that in a little bit. We just wanted to fill you guys in on some of the things that have been going on. One of the biggest things that you're going to notice is we're going to change our format just a little bit, just because, you know, it seemed like a time for a change. We've been doing this for almost a year now, and we wanted to kind of get a little more structure to things. We've been kind of relaxed about how we were, you know, our release schedule and things like that, and we just kind of wanted to change things up a little bit.
Yeah, so, I mean, after 31 episodes, it just seemed like the right time. 31 is, you know, a very significant number.
Right, exactly. You know?
So,
and there's all kinds of numerology about it. And
we're coming up on the 31st anniversary of Taxi Driver. So
there you go.
I'm sure they'll release a special edition. You know,
I'm sure.
It's the 31st year. Yeah.
Just to kind of give you a breakdown of what we're going to do. We're going to start off, we're going to talk about a little bit of movie news, probably just talk about kind of the things that happened over this past weekend at the box office, in the U.S. box office. Maybe talk about some of the DVDs that have come out this week. Then we will give a review of whatever movie we're discussing. It'll be a newspaper review, you know, no spoilers. We're not going to ruin anything for anybody. That's not what it's about. Just kind of a general feelings. Did we like it? Did we not like it? What we thought, you know, maybe good performances, if things worked or didn't. Then we'll take a little break. We'll come back and we will do our normal geeking on things, digging into the movie, spoiling it. You know, if you've seen it, we'll get into spoilers and good stuff like that. And we'll probably, you know, get off topic, you know. I know, because we don't normally do that. You know, we normally stay pretty solidly focused.
And for the kids of you that have been paying attention from when we were restructuring our website, we have the films in advance about a week or two before we go to record, so you have some time to go check them out, be it out in the theater or DVD. Or online, if it would ever come to that. And then we will do our second half, the spoilery part. And if you've seen it, you can, you know, listen and add your comments and thoughts. If you haven't seen it, you can hold on to that part until you have and go from there. So
exactly.
Pretty exciting stuff.
Yeah, right now, just to kind of give you a preview, if you haven't checked out the website, this week we're talking TMNT. Next episode, we're going to talk about The Good Shepherd, which was released not this week, but last week on DVD in the U.S. I'm not sure about the release dates in other countries. So, Stu, you might have to let us know if we're a little bit early on that one for you. The week after Good Shepherd, somebody's finally getting around to seeing Serenity.
Yep, that'd be me for anyone keeping score.
Yeah, the other Tony is finally getting around to see Serenity, And depending on how things work out, we might even do something kind of fun with that particular episode. So just to let you guys know that those are some of the things coming up. And if you have some suggestions about movies either coming out on DVD you'd like to, us to check out, there's a lot of big movies coming out over the summer that I'm sure we'll be checking out at least one or two of them. You know, we'll be hitting those, and we will try to make them within a week or two after the movies get released, so it's not stale, and you'll get a preview of what the movie is if you haven't checked it out yet. But you also have the chance for the deep geeking if you did get a chance to see it before we get the episode out. All right. Well, I think the big news this past weekend was the box office. It was seemed like it kind of surprised some folks.
Well, I mean, I know how great Will Ferrell is, so I wasn't surprised. I mean, yeah. He's really more than a man and less than a god. He's one of those demigods, I think, or semi-gods, yeah, depending on where you come from.
That's true.
And I think down out west, it's semi-god. But anyway, he's an amazing creature of talent. And he was able to hold off Grindhouse at the box office. And maybe he had a little help from Napoleon Dynamite. Maybe a little.
But, a little bit, I think.
But I think he did Napoleon probably a whole bunch of favors just by being in this movie. So,
yeah.
So
yeah,
kudos to Will for holding him off.
Yeah, and I mean, really, I'm looking at the numbers now, and just to go down the list, Blades of Glory was number one. It made $22.5 million. It only had a 31% drop off from the week before, which they figure most movies have about a 50% drop off.
Really.
Yeah, so that was very interesting.
I still haven't seen it, and I plan on seeing it, and I probably will see it two or three times, yeah, honestly, if it's like all the other Will Ferrell movies. So I expect it's probably going to have quite a good... I wouldn't be surprised if it goes 3 weeks in a row at the top. You know?
Yeah, I'm not sure what's coming out next week, but if it's another light week like it was this week, I think it's got a pretty good shot.
Yeah.
Julie and I saw it opening weekend. We were looking for something just really light and fun. We weren't looking for anything real serious or, real deep or anything. And Blades of Glory delivered. It was a lot of fun. We had a great time with it. Had a lot of fun seeing that one. And both of us had a good time watching it, which, you know, sometimes you get a comedy that it doesn't deliver to both genders very well.
Right.
And I think this one did, and it had some really nice moments that I had a couple of laugh out loud moments that she didn't quite get, and I, you know, would explain to her afterwards that and it wasn't like it was dirty or anything like that. I think the biggest moment, and this isn't really spoiling anything for anyone, but when you hear the theme song, or the, I guess it is the theme song from the movie Flash Gordon, you'll understand why I had kind of the laugh out loud moment. We had a great time with it.
That's awesome, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. He doesn't strike out too much. That's for sure.
No. And he had another solid one with this one.
Who's number two?
Number two is Meet the Robinsons, the Disney flick.
Oh, okay.
The computer animated Disney flick that for the second week in a row, it's number two. It was behind Blades of Glory the first weekend, and now this weekend. They both opened last weekend also. Number three, this one really surprised me that it actually came in as high as it did. Are We Done Yet? The Ice Cube. Let's see, that's the sequel to Are We There Yet? Which was done a couple of years ago. It was kind of a take on the National Lampoon's Vacation kind of movie.
Anybody who knew his musical work in the 90s and saw Three Kings had to see this one coming. I mean,
oh man.
I'm sure it was a fantastic film. I mean,
yeah. It made $14.2 million this weekend.
Hey man, so, it's the Cube.
Yeah.
I give it up for Ice Cube, man.
Number three, it was the best new movie this weekend. Number four was Grindhouse. Highly disappointing to a lot of people. A lot of people were expecting this one to do much better than it did.
But did people like it?
You know, I think it's one of the things that the people that went to see it and knew what they were seeing loved it. And if you went to see it and either didn't know what you were seeing or weren't what to expect, those seem to be the ones that I've heard complaining about it, or I've heard that there were some people that walked out of some theaters, like on some screening, like some preview screenings. But a lot of times when you go to a preview screening, you don't necessarily know what you're walking into.
Right.
So I can understand that. And apparently what happened was the people who knew what they were going to see went and saw it and loved it. The people who didn't just avoided it. So, and the box office shows. Plus, it's 3 hours long.
Yeah, I mean, not everybody's in the mood to see a 3-hour movie this time of year.
Right. Right.
Most of that happens at the end of the year.
Right. Yeah. You know? Well, and a 3-hour long movie. Another thing is just the simple economics of time is that you're getting half the showings you would on the same number of screens.
Right, so it's not going to make as much money. That's a good point.
Exactly, exactly. I mean, you get a Friday night show, you have the chance to maybe get two sold-out shows or only one sold-out show. I mean, that's a big difference. If you get the show that starts at 7 o'clock, a lot of times you get a chance for another one at 9 or so. This one, you're not getting another chance to at least 10:30 in the same actual theater. So that's, there's some economics of time there that have to have played into it a little bit.
Yeah, I'm sure that's a part of it, but also, the movie-going season hasn't really kicked off yet. And this probably would have been better if it were released in May or August or, even November. November probably would have been just as good a time as any to release this type of movie,
Yeah, because in November, really, it would be competing against movies that are pretty much polar opposites of the kind of movie this one is.
Right.
It would be competing against the independent art house, talkie kind of movies.
Exactly.
That tend to be the ones that go for
Best
Oscar.
Picture. Yeah.
And then number five, the number five film was The Reaping.
I don't know what that is.
Yeah, I only saw some preview, just some commercials for it. And it's, I know nothing about it. So I'm sure somebody's going to correct me. But from the commercials I saw, it seemed to be something about the end of days, the various plagues were coming.
Hmm. Oh, yeah. That's the one with Hilary Swank. I've seen that.
That's right. That's right.
Which I didn't fundamentally understand the preview, because my first thought was okay, just put some blood on your doorpost and you'll be fine. Just lock yourself away and throw some blood on the doorpost. I don't understand why everyone's so confused.
Yep.
It seems like their source material would be rather easy to access as to how to solve this problem. But apparently they couldn't figure that out in the preview, so
that could be it.
Anyway, little Old Testament humor for you there. I'm sure.
There you go.
I'm sure that our fans are big on the Old Testament humor.
And see, that one made just a little bit over $10 million. So, the three big movies that opened this weekend were number 3, 4, and 5.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So that was those were three of the big movies that opened this weekend. After that you have 300, Wild Hog, Shooter, the movie we're going to talk about, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle, well, TMNT actually is technically the title of this one.
Yeah.
That was number 9, and another new release called Firehouse Dog, which, to be honest, I'm not really even sure what that one
Firehouse
is.
Firehouse Dog?
Firehouse Dog, it was a new release, and it made $3.8 million.
Hmm.
But to be honest, I missed any kind of advertisement on this one, so I'm not even sure what that one's about.
I don't know. I don't have any info on the Firehouse Dog.
So, yeah, so the number 9 movie this week, last week it was number 4, and Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle movie.
And it opened
so far
at number 1.
What's that?
It did open at number 1 the weekend we saw it.
Yeah. It opened at number 1.
Yeah, I think it made like $33 million or $23 million or something like that.
Yeah, so far it's made over $46.5 million. So, I mean, not bad.
I bet that cost less than $1 million to make.
Actually, the website I'm looking at, and I'm getting, just for everybody's information, I'm getting my info from boxofficemojo.com. They're showing the budget is $34
million. $34 million, really, to make it?
Well, the computer animation, I mean...
You think... I didn't know it cost that much to do that these days.
Well, probably some of it was development. You know, it was kind of this... I would bet there have been some attempts at getting a movie like this made for a while.
I see.
It's been a while since we've had a Turtles movie.
My guess would have been they paid $20 million to Lawrence Fishburne to narrate the first 10 minutes, and then they made the rest of it for $14 million.
That could be it. That very well could be it. I mean, it's made its money back. It's more than made its money back. It's already $12 million in the plus. So
that's right.
When you're in the plus, that's success.
We here at the Nostalgic Turtles Club cheer at success. We're very happy that the movie made money because we know we're going to get a second one. And
I think they will, and we'll get into some more of the details of that later. But I think it's pretty safe to say we might get another turtle movie.
I would say, signs point to yes.
Yeah. So let's kind of give a review of the film. I know for myself, Holden and I went to see it, and he's 4.5 now, and I honestly had no intention of going to see the movie. It was kind of funny. It was a Saturday afternoon, and Sunday. It was Sunday afternoon. You know, I ran to the grocery store. Julie and Holden ran to the park. She swung by McDonald's to pick him up some lunch. As I'm coming back, they show up at the house just as I come back, and he opens up his Happy Meal, and there's a turtle inside. And he's just involved with the turtle. Can't stop playing with the turtle long enough to eat his lunch. Julie said, well, heck, let's load up a trailer. It opened this weekend. There's got to be some trailers online. So we pulled up a trailer. You know, within 10 minutes, he's quoting lines from the trailer after the third time we watched it.
That's how quick kids are, man.
Oh, man. And so it was like, well, it's Sunday afternoon. Not really much going on. Hey, buddy, you want to go see the movie? So, like, within an hour and a half, we go from him not even being aware of the movie's existence to standing in the theater buying our popcorn, you know? So he and I went to see it. He loved it. He's got most of the turtles now. He absolutely loved the film. I tried to get him to sit down long enough to record a few minutes, but, you know, I start mentioning turtles, and he's running around the room with at least 2 turtles in his hand, having them fighting bad guys and stuff. So
he's a ninjin turtle, is that what it was?
Ninjin, yeah. Ninjin turtle.
Well, what's so funny is I didn't realize it until this telling of the story, but my experience was quite similar. I took my buddy Dan to McDonald's before we went to see the Turtles movie, and he's 26.5, and we had your basic burger and fries, and
sure.
Then we went to see the movie as well. And I'll be darned if he didn't, enjoy it just as much as Holden. In fact, he wanted to be on the podcast. He even called me tonight. I didn't know if we were doing this tonight. And he said, I would love to be on it, if you're going to do it later this week. So maybe we'll get a comment or two from him.
Cool.
And throw it in there. If he doesn't, if I mention Turtles, he might end up running around to... and doing something like that. But I think we'll be able to get him to sit down and share a few of his thoughts. He's going to hate me for having said it like that.
Nah, it's all right.
He was the guy on Ghost Rider, for those of you who have been listening. But
that's right. That's right, he is.
But he enjoyed it as well.
Well, that's good. Now, as far as my thoughts, in all honesty, I went, my first thought is it going to be scary? Is it going to be too scary for the 4-year-old? And we'll have to leave if it gets too scary.
Right.
So I didn't get really invested in the movie. I tried not to, just because I knew that, you know, one good scary scene and we were out of there.
Right.
But, you know, as it got toward the climax of the movie, I was kind of hoping that it wasn't going to get too scary because I was enjoying the movie. I was having a really good time with it.
Exactly.
Like I said, it's not the kind of thing I would normally seek out. I wasn't a really big Turtles fan. I saw the first movie in the theater because I'm a comic book collector, and at the time, when the first movie came out, the Turtles, the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle comic book was a huge underground success, and you went and saw the movie, and for what they did with puppetry and the animatronics of puppetry and live action, the first movie, they did a really good job at the time. The movie doesn't really hold up all that well from repeated viewings.
I would have to disagree on that. I think that it's a straight up great comedy. I mean,
looking at it as a comedy, yeah.
And that is what it is. I mean, it's not a serious movie.
That's where I have to divest myself from the comic books,
right?
Because the comic books do take a more serious tone. Now we're getting a little bit into the deep geeking about this movie in particular. I thought it was. Especially for, someone in the single digit age bracket, it was, I think any boy under the age of probably 12 is going to love this movie.
Yeah.
It was a lot of fun. If you have a kid at heart and you don't take it all that seriously, I think it's a good movie. It's not high cinema by any means. It was a lot of fun on a Sunday afternoon, just me and the kid eating some popcorn, watching a fun movie.
Somebody wrote a review that it was intended to be critical of the film, that the only people that will enjoy this movie are 9-year-olds and people who remember the Turtles from when they were 9. And I'd have to say that that's probably literally true.
Probably.
But that doesn't make it bad. I was I was 9 years old when the Turtles came out. And mm-hmm. when that live-action one came out. That's why I went to see it. And that's why I enjoyed this one so much. It was a piece of nostalgia for me.
Sure.
Now, as far as the scary parts go, I was afraid that Dan would be scared. But then I ended up being more scared than Dan, and I wanted to leave. And then Dan, told me it was okay. It was no big deal. So I stayed. And I'm glad that I did.
Yeah, we kept you in the theater during Ghost Rider. We each sat on one side of you to keep you in your seat.
I appreciated that.
So I'm sure Dan was able to manage something similar, maybe pin you to a wall or something so that you couldn't get out.
He was. He threw some popcorn at me. I was happy. I can't do this with a straight face anymore.
I think we're in a consensus at least at this, for the young at heart who have some nostalgia about the Turtles. I think this movie is worth checking out. if you can't make it to the theater, because I mean, quite honestly, it's not done that good at the box office. It had a really good opening weekend, but it's kind of fallen off pretty quickly after this. And in the next couple of weeks, I would say definitely by the first weekend in May, by the time Spider-Man comes out and is on at like, you know, four screens at the 10 screen theater locally, you know, I have a feeling this will be one of the movies that drops off. If you don't get out the next couple of weeks to see it, it's not a great tragedy. I think it had a really nice presentation on the big screen. I think this one would probably hold up fairly well on the small screen also, though.
It really felt, I mean, my only criticism of it was it really didn't go all the way. And I felt like it was made for the small screen. You know, kind of as if they weren't sure it would get a big screen release and it might go straight to DVD. I mean,
I think you could be around that.
Yeah, I mean, it just didn't seem as fun as it was.
Mm-hmm.
I don't need to see it again, you know.
No.
And it lacked, which we can get into when we break it down more.
Sure.
It lacked that internal dynamic that really, I don't know, what, use your sports metaphor, drives the ball in or hits the home run. You know,
sure.
It was good enough. But you know what? I haven't seen a Turtles film in like 15 years, so I'll take it.
Yep.
So,
okay.
We're going to break here, and we'll be right back with more TMNT Mania. We'll break down the film in more detail. And, alrighty.
This is Sand Trooper TD0013 of A Different Point of View at ADPOV.net, and I need your help. Multiple sclerosis is a chronic, often disabling disease of the central nervous system that generally strikes people between the ages of 20 and 50. Symptoms can range from numbness in the limbs to paralysis or loss of vision. The progress, severity, and specific symptoms of MS in any one person cannot yet be predicted, but advances in research and treatments are giving hope to those affected by the disease. On April 14, 2007, I will be taking part in the annual MS Walk on the Wild Side, which is a 6.1-mile trek beneath the Arizona sun, and I'll be doing it in full Sand Trooper gear. Armor, helmet, boots, backpack, rifle, the works. I've pledged to raise $1,000 to fight MS. I'm doing my part to help those with MS, but I can't do this alone. I need your help. Now, until April 14th, the producers of this fine podcast you're listening to right now will have a link banner that says, Help TD0013 help those with multiple sclerosis on the front page of their website. This orange and black banner will take you directly to my page on the MS Society's website, and there you can make a donation to the cause. Don't worry, it's a secure site, and I'm not asking for anyone's paychecks. Just whatever you can spare. And every penny goes directly to the MS Society. And from them, to the research to help those with this horrible disease. From $1 to $1 million, anything you can spare would be most appreciated. For years you've heard me talk the talk. Now I'm going to walk the walk. And you can be walking right next to me in spirit. Any support you can give would be great. For updates on my progress and debriefings after it's all said and done, keep an eye on my website at www.adpov.net. I'm TD0013. I'm from the Empire, and I'm here to help.
Did you like the movie?
Yeah.
Could you say that right here?
I love the movie.
What did you like about it?
When the turtle, the orange master turtle, said to the blue master turtle, when he said, it looked like your mom, dude.
Yeah.
I like that part. That part.
Just that part?
Yeah.
Did you like when the turtles were fighting the bad guys?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah. I don't want to talk.
Who's your favorite turtle?
I only like Spider-Man.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Say bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, we're back. And
all right.
Now we're going to get into the deep, deep geeking about turtles.
That's right. The sordid, steamy love affair between Michelangelo and April O'Neil revealed here.
Hey, now wait a minute. We need to make sure that we give the spoiler warning.
That's right.
Yep.
Spoiler. Well, lucky for you guys, it didn't actually happen.
Yeah.
Or did it?
Yeah, maybe maybe we're just messing with you about that. Yeah, so we will get into plot points and specifics about the beginning, middle, and end of the movies at this point. So if you have not seen the movie Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles or any of the previous movie, we could be spoiling the hell out of them. So
we could be.
Listen at your own risk. If you don't plan on seeing the movie, hey, no harm, no foul. But if you think you might, and you would be concerned about finding out what the end of the movie is before we get to that point, you might want to turn it off now. You know, no That's hard right. feelings. And we'll see you next time. But otherwise, stick around, and we'll start chewing into things.
All right.
Now
let's get the chewing going.
Yeah. Now overall,
overall,
we both said, you know, this was a nice, fun nostalgia movie, but there right. were some problems with it.
Yeah, there were.
And you know, and I could very easily get past the problems. That's why in the review I recommend people who have a nostalgic attachment to it or kids would, I think, would like the movie. But I was concerned right off the bat when I started watching it.
I know you didn't like the exposition bit.
I didn't like the as an adult viewer, I didn't like the exposition bit. As
right.
a father with a small child, I was very thankful for the exposition bit.
Right.
I felt most of the movie starts with what, about a 5 minute? It seemed like it was about 5 minutes long.
Yeah, but it's effective in this way.
Yeah.
It
was a prologue.
Yeah. And you do know what kind of movie you're going to be seeing in the first 5 minutes.
Right. You're right about that.
You know,
And you get, I think, what's probably, with the exception, I mean, later on there's a monster or two that jumps out at the screen, but I think you get probably in some of the most intense moments of the movie right up front.
Right.
There's some intense stuff happening with the monsters being released and that. So, you know, once you're past that, everything's a little easier to digest. You don't have to worry about a little one being scared. If they make right. it through the first 5-10 minutes, you're probably okay for the rest of it.
Right.
Now, that said, there was a lot of exposition right up front. It explained all the background of the bad guy and his origin right up front before we ever even mentioned a turtle.
And then it was like, and the turtles had recently disposed of Shredder, their archenemy, and
right.
they were, you know, throwing parties and, you know, doing their post-turtle things.
Right, and it did kind of show us where all the turtles were at this point in their lives, how they had gone their separate ways, because their primary enemy has been defeated, you know.
Right.
What does Batman do after the Joker and the Riddler and the Penguin and Catwoman and all the rest of those guys are in jail or dead or in the asylum? What does he do?
I have a feeling that Batman would probably kill himself, but, you know, that's not a PG-rated movie right there.
No, that's not a PG-rated movie.
Lucky for Batman, everyone else in his community is tough enough that,
yep.
Oh, you know what? I shouldn't have said that. This is probably going to be a kids audience podcast, but...
We can edit that.
Okay.
That are turtled up enough that...
They're turtled up enough.
I think you're right. I think Batman would have he probably wouldn't know what to do with himself at that point.
No, not really.
The Turtles, though, they, for the most part, I think they go on what you could assume would be expected path, life paths.
Right.
You had Michelangelo doing kids' pizza parties as kind of a turtle. I thought that was hilarious. That, you know, they're in hiding, and he's...
It's a Ghostbusters 2. It's a reference to Ghostbusters 2.
Absolutely, yeah. I thought that was great.
Yeah, that was funny.
And see, now I'm of the age that I was raised watching the Turtles. You know, the question where you were when the Turtle movie came out, I was like 18 or 19.
Right.
So I'm not as good with remembering which one's which at this point. Now, about a week and a half ago, I knew all of them, and I had to know them by heart because of Holden.
But, oh, he watched him, huh?
Well, he which one's the blue one? Which one's the purple one?
And oh,
now,
yeah.
I think I remember them all. Michelangelo's the red one.
The orange one.
Is he orange?
He's orange.
Okay, he's orange. The red one? Do you remember?
Raphael?
Okay, then Leonardo is
blue.
Donatello's purple.
Purple.
All right. Now Leonardo was doing tech support.
No, Leonardo was meditating in South America.
Donatello was doing the tech support.
No. Right.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, Donatello was doing tech support.
Which fits Raphael, his nature.
Yeah, Raphael had taken on another superhero identity and was fighting crime in the city.
Right.
Kind of Batman style.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's the Batman of the group. The one with angst and psychological issues.
Yeah.
So.
And of course, you know, Splinter's back, the wizened rat.
He's watching his stories on on the picture box.
Now, what I thought was interesting to note, this was the last film that I believe is his name is pronounced Mako.
I don't know.
The Asian gentleman who
Mako
played
was the voice of Splinter, right?
He played Splinter. This last film that he worked on before he passed away.
Really?
Yeah.
Now, you're saying he was always Splinter, even in the cartoons and whatnot?
I don't know if he was always Splinter. I know that he played Splinter in this film.
Okay.
I don't know if he played them in previous incarnations.
Okay.
But I know that he did play the character in this film.
Interesting. Now, was he... I don't really know anything about Mako. Was he in a lot of Asian films or?
He's played. If memory serves, he's played like that Japanese general, you know, and
right
in a number of films. His last film was TMNT. Let's see. I'm jumping out onto IMDb right now because I know I've seen him in other things. He was in Memoirs of a Geisha.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Okay. Let's see.
I like that movie.
He's done a lot of voice work. Samurai Jack. Duck Dodgers. Avatar: The Last Airbender. Let's see. He was in Bulletproof Monk, Pearl Harbor. He was Yamamoto in Pearl Harbor.
Oh.
So yeah, I mean he's played. He's one of the he's like an Asian character actor.
Interesting.
You see his face a lot, and you're like, I remember that guy from that movie.
Right.
But you can never quite place him. Yeah, check out his profile on IMDb. He's got quite a career. He passed away in July of esophageal cancer.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, yeah. And I read an interview that he found out that he had that either while he was working on TMNT or right about that time. And they said he was still just a great presence on set. He helped, some of the other actors and who to work through their parts.
Wow.
One of the things I did find out about this movie was shot differently. At least the voice work was done differently than a lot of the modern animated films are being done, where you'll have, actors just kind of file in when they're able to record their lines. This one, they actually recorded, as much as possible, they recorded everyone together. If you were in a scene with someone...
like an actual ensemble cast.
Yeah, if you were in a scene with someone, you were doing your voice recording. You were doing your recording in the room with them at the same time to get the more natural... back and forth, the conversational style. They said it really saved them a lot in doing post sound editing. They didn't have to go back and redo as many lines because things just weren't quite right.
See, this is what you get with the SmackDown. Now, where else are you going to find on a review program a tribute to Mako, the Japanese character actor, or Asian character actor, I don't know if he was Japanese, and a breakdown about how they actually did the ensemble voices on
That's right.
Turtles. So I applaud Tony for his homework. That was awesome.
That's right.
And then we also had Chang Ziyi. Is that how you pronounce her name? I can't remember. But she, who's in many wonderful movies, and she's a very beautiful woman. Sorry, T.E., I'm already engaged, but she's in Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon in 2046 and Hero and a lot of other Asian films. And she plays the leader of the Foot, the post-Shredder leader of the Foot.
That's right.
Clan in this one. It was nice to see the Foot back.
Hang on
nice
one second.
Nice to see the return of the Foot.
Audacity is doing something on me here.
Uh-oh.
It's like hung up, but I don't know if it's still recording or not. I'm trying to get it to the...
While we're experiencing technical difficulties, let me tell you about our spinoff podcast, Foot Focus. Each week, we take an in-depth look at what the Foot Clan has been doing since Shredder has passed on.
Okay, it seems to be recording again, but I don't know if I lost some time. So, hopefully I didn't lose any time there, but we may have just had to clip a few minutes of audio. If we did, you might not know it. Otherwise, you may have heard the vocal stylings of Tony Number Two.
That's right. And our podcast, Foot Focus.
That's right.
Premiering this week in the post-Shredder world.
We seem to be back. We seem to be recording okay. We get to y'all here. We are all over the place.
That's right.
As far as the acting talent, the vocal talent, They seem to do a good job. It didn't seem to be... I didn't really have a problem. I didn't have any disconnects with it. It's kind of hard to judge the acting talent on an animated film, but I have seen some done very, very badly. And for me, it's one of those things on an animated film, if you notice that it's bad... that's when it's bad. If you don't notice it, well, it must have been good because right. You don't really notice it,
And I think, obviously Patrick Stewart's not going to do a huge, great turn, you know, because you, I mean, he's not acting in the same way, but it is nice to have a voice with that presence for that character. I mean,
yes,
you know, to be able to say, well, we need someone like Patrick Stewart, and then, you know, he's going to bring what his vocal talent, which is probably just innate in his being or who he is, you know,
right,
to do that. So it was good that they went out and got top talent,
yes,
for certain roles.
Yeah, and I think the only disconnects I had with the vocal talent was was one that I kind of only found out about just a little bit before the movie was released. Was Kevin Smith was in it.
Yeah.
And his role was very small. They really didn't need someone like Kevin Smith. I mean, it was just kind of a really odd placement.
But don't you think that he's the kind of guy who just wanted to be in it?
That could be it. It just seemed really odd. I mean, just this, he was in it, and he was the short order cook. And I don't know, it just seemed really weird to me. And,
yeah,
you know, I mean, I love Kevin Smith as a filmmaker. It just really didn't do anything for me to have him in that role. And it did kind of
stick out.
Maybe
when he heard about ensemble casting, he just wanted to be in the same room with Zhang Ziyi for a couple of minutes.
That could have been it.
I don't blame him for
no,
that.
I mean, no, I can't really blame him for that one either. But yeah, I mean, I'm unabashedly a Kevin Smith fanboy, but that one just, I mean, didn't do anything for me there.
Well, you know, I think he is an avid comic book fan, self-admitted geek about those types of media, and it wouldn't surprise me if he just really wanted to be in the Turtles film.
And that could be it. And you know, it was such a small part that's probably did go down something like that. That or he owed somebody a favor. You know,
yeah.
The filmmaker could have been a buddy of his, or he knew somebody somewhere along the line, and somebody said, "Hey, you know, we have this really small part. Let's get Kevin over here to do it."
Right.
But no. Otherwise, I thought the leads, the main folks playing the turtles themselves did a great job.
Yeah. Although I can't name a one. It was interesting that ironically, the main characters, you know, were not any notable talents that I can think of.
Well, they had April O'Neil and Casey Jones. They had people at least with a little bit of star power, you know.
Right.
And I'm just completely blanking on who it was that played April at the moment. But the guy that played Casey Jones was the same guy that played Johnny Storm in the Fantastic Four movie.
Oh, okay. Yeah, okay.
And if you give me half a second here, I'll be his name, because I am just blanking on his name right now.
On April O'Neil, was it Meryl Streep?
Yeah, that's exactly who it was.
No, it wasn't Meryl. Faye Dunaway, maybe?
Sarah Michelle Gellar.
Yep. Yeah, that's right. That's right. It was her.
She did. Sarah Michelle Gellar did April O'Neil, and oh well, that would be a completely different movie. Sarah Michelle Gellar voiced April O'Neil, and Chris Evans is the guy.
That would be Cruel Intentions 3. Yes, I think you're right. The film you're talking about.
And Chris Evans is the guy who voiced Casey Jones. He's also Johnny Storm, the Human Torch in the Fantastic Four movie. And as we alluded to before, the voiceover, the narrator at the beginning of the film, Lawrence Fishburne, which came in just for that portion, and that was it. It was just, I think that was another thing that was a little bit odd to me, was that You know, it was like, oh, wow, cool, you know, cool narrator.
Maybe he was, and that was previously attached to be, maybe he's going to narrate more movies, or he was previously attached to be another character. Or,
that could be it. That could be it.
I don't know. This just in, I'm watching Anchorman in the background, and this is a Chris Evans-related story. Apparently, the Human Torch was denied a bank loan.
Oh. Okay.
Wait. All right, anybody who's seen Anchorman a million times will get that. I guess I just derailed. All right, anyway.
I've only seen Anchorman like twice. So, it's lost on me on that one.
All right. Anyway. All right, I think I lost the whole audience with that one. All right, back on track.
to jump back on track, since I have IMDb up anyway, I was kind of glancing around, and the tagline, one of the taglines for this movie is "Raising Shell in 2007."
Nice.
Which, it's kind of funny that, you know, they'd use a tagline that like that for a PG movie.
Well, you know, it's a movie with a lot of puns and a lot of you know, witty one-liners, you know, throughout it. So it makes a lot of
sense.
Sure, it
does.
That sort of thing, you know. And it beats the joke I just made like 2 seconds ago. So, I mean, you know, right away, it's looking great relatively compared to what we just heard.
Oh, yeah, I mean, I stand by my review. It was a good movie, and it was a nostalgic movie. If you're not a fan of, you know, the Turtles or lighthearted superhero fare, because it does kind of have the superhero vibe to it. If you're not a fan of either of anything like that, I say avoid the movie. You're probably going to just set yourself up for some disappointment. If you've got a young boy or, you know, a young girl who, you know, enjoys things like the Power Rangers and things like that, I'd say you're probably going to be all right with this one. It is rated PG. There are some monsters that jump out at the screen, but it's nothing that serious. It's not really grotesque or ultra-violent. I mean, they do show characters fighting, so if you're a parent, you might have that little bit of concern. But it's not going to be anything worse than you see on, like, Power Rangers.
It's really quite effective at playing its audience. I mean, I think that's his great strength.
Yeah.
I mean, all the criticism about the limit of the audience, it definitely plays to its audience.
Right.
And for those of us who enjoyed it growing up, it's nostalgia. So I give it the old Superman Returns 2.5 out of 4 stars. It's a good nostalgic action piece. So
yeah, I think I think if you're under the age of, you know, if you're a male under the age of 12, or you were probably male under the age of 12 when this movie came out, you're really going to enjoy this one. I think the little boys in the crowd are going to give it, you know, 2 thumbs up, 5-star, 4 out of 4, just because it's that kind of movie that it's really getting them.
And I would just have to say that if you're a male under the age of 12, what are you doing listening to this program?
That's right.
It's like 10:45. You should be in bed right now.
You should be in bed. You
do
should
your homework.
Not be listening to us.
You shouldn't be listening to us right now.
You shouldn't be listening to us ever.
God, where are your parents? I mean, if they even knew you were up listening to us, I mean, they'd probably ban you from podcasting altogether.
That's right. And
so,
you know, one other thing I did want to mention that I did really like about the movie, because we kind of bagged on it a little bit here, but the one thing that I really liked about the story was the aspect of family and brothership.
Yeah, the themes were really strong. Its big weakness is lack of a real enemy. And there is an enemy. I don't want to make that sound right. But the enemy, it's kind of like fighting robots. They're kind of just like, you know, they're not really a very conscious enemy.
I think the weakness of this movie was that it was a family drama when it should have been more action.
Right. But the family drama is its biggest strength.
It really is.
And you get the great Leo versus Raph fight that I've always wanted to see. Now I've seen it. And it was fantastic. Probably the best part of the movie. I guess you can't really have an enemy on the outside when you're concentrating on putting together the old force.
Right.
Although I wonder if it would have served the tension a lot better to have a more threatening enemy.
Well, and I think the theme of the movie was that, at least, you know, kind of what I got out of it, and what I'll be able to, you know, because I know Holden's going to want the movie when it comes out on DVD, and that, you know, the one lesson that you can stress from this movie is that apart, there are going to be things that you can't do, and as individuals, they could not have defeated this villain. Granted, right. Not a very
that's the moral.
Yeah,
lesson.
It's not a very it's not a really big bad guy, because once the turtles get their act together and become brothers again and treat each other respectfully and in the you know and act the way brothers should, then they kick ass. And then it's hardly a fight.
They're really like a rock band, which unfortunately conjures up the memories of the old Turtles rock band, which was when you knew the franchise was beginning to fall. But no, seriously, like, you've got the Michelangelo and Donatello, which are basically the rhythm section.
Yep.
And they're just kind of like, dudes, whatever. And then you've got Leonardo, who's supposed to be the lead guy.
Yep.
And you've got Raphael, the talent.
Yep.
And those two always tend to clash. And, you know, it's just one of those classic dynamics that you love to watch play out. And it's well done. It's well done in that way.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. I think there are a lot of good family dramas that could actually learn some lessons on the dynamic of brotherhood from this movie.
I tell you what, I mean, I gotta be honest with you. After the Batman podcast with Armin, you know, I told him I didn't want to speak to him again. I mean, I gotta be frank. He likes Batman and I like Batman Begins, and there was no common ground. So, but after seeing this movie, I went out and I called him up and I said, "Hey man, let's bury the hatchet."
Yep.
And we did just that.
And whose head got it? Did so, it get buried in?
What?
Whose head did the hatchet get buried in?
I refuse to admit that part of the backstory. But
your lawyer said not to comment on an ongoing
exactly.
investigation.
Yes, of course. Armin's doing well.
Well,
by
that's
the way.
Good. Are they going to release him soon?
Yeah. Hopefully, yeah. You know. I think that, you know, he probably won't be able to make any unsupervised visits to my house or anything
right.
like that. But, no, I'm just, he's good. He hasn't seen the Turtles movie. He probably would argue that the first Turtles movie was best because it was the original.
Yes.
But I would have to agree with him in this case. So.
Yeah. I think this is a fun movie, and I think they did a really good job of, I mean, and one of the things they did was they didn't discount the past. One other thing that there's one last thing I want to mention before we cut this off. There was one thing that was obviously missing from this movie in a brilliant way. No origin story. We did not get the origin again.
And we didn't need
nope.
it. I mean,
nope.
Thank God for that.
Unfortunately, if Holden started asking me questions, I'd have to go look it up again because it's been a while since, you know, because I could see his little mind working to figure out how the turtles were talking and there were people. And, you know, so I had to start digging up his memories. How did the turtles get to be that way? because it had been a while, you know, and right. But it was really nice. They didn't rehack that all over again and waste 5-10 minutes on retelling an origin. It's already, you know, they've already told the origin before.
Right.
So that was nice. That was very good.
It was refreshing, yep. You know, and, you know, who knows what we're going to get in the second movie.
It looks like they're setting up a Return of Shredder is what it looks like.
That's kind of what it's looking like. But, you know, we might get flashbacks or delving into their past or something, and they might fill in new generation about, you know, the old days or something like that.
That could be.
We'll see. I don't know.
I would be shocked if we don't see another film or two in the franchise. In fact, like Sunday or Monday after the opening weekend, and it had such a strong opening. I think it was they asked Harvey Weinstein, you know, what this meant. And I think his response was something to the effect, looks like we've got a sequel, dude.
Nice. Yeah.
So, I think that's a pretty clear indication that we will be seeing more Turtles. And, you know, if they keep up this level of quality, give us some more action, give us a better villain, I don't think that's a bad thing.
No, it'll be yep. fine.
All right.
Well, I would just like to say that no brothers or friends were harmed in the making of this podcast.
No. And, bad jokes aside.
All right. But Armin and Dan, you guys are good sports. If you hear this thing, thanks for thanks for putting up with it for an hour.
Yep.
Peace out. And anything you want to add, Tony?
I was just going to say, don't forget, next time we're going to be talking about The Good Shepherd. So, Now, neither of us have seen it at this point, but we're both kind of looking forward to it. So check it out. If you get a chance to see it beforehand, remember, you can listen to the whole show. If you don't get a chance to see it before the episode, still listen, because we won't spoil it until we do, and we'll tell you when we're getting ready to.
Yeah. So get out your old Pesci and De Niro films. And watch them all, and then pop in this new one and see how
it
goes.
That's right, because we'll probably, when we get into the deep geeking part of it, we'll probably be dipping into some of the old stuff, some of their other old stuff too.
Yeah. So.
All right.
All right. Take it easy.
We're gonna call this one done, and we'll see you next time.
All right.
See ya. Leave a comment on the webpage, fanboysmackdown.com, at the forums. FarpointForums.com. Send us an email, fanboysmackdown@gmail.com, or leave us a voicemail, 206-339-FBSD. That's 206-339-3273. And don't forget, you can leave comments on The Good Shepherd as well, and we just might include them in the next episode. Thanks.
I only like Spider-Man. Bye-bye.